Before we get started with today's show, I want to note that during this time of social isolation with no games to watch, it's not just the right time that's churning out content for you. ESPN Podcast is adapting to this new normal, and just this week, there have been new episodes of ESPN Daily, The Woj Pod, The Hoop Collective, Ariel Helwani's MMA Show, The Mina Kimes Show, and Baseball Tonight. You can listen to all of these and more wherever you get your podcasts. While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computer on and off before they started. Live online classes meet just twice a week to get what you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Online classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. This is the time of week where we bring on a guest joining us now. You may know this gentleman. Check him out. Whereas now with Stephen A. Smith. Oh, first take, your take. Stephen A. Smith, Jason Fitz. His name is Shannon Penn. What's going on, man?
Hey, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, all of that good stuff. I don't know what time, what day. I don't know anything anymore. So what's up, Bo?
Yeah, so are you going to work or are you at the crib?
I'm at the crib. I've been at the crib for a couple weeks now, actually. So before, you know, they started sending folks home, I actually had the flu that week. So when all the corona stuff started going down, I had the flu. So I had to get that checked out. And it was best that I go ahead and just stay home before they sent everybody home. I guess I was ahead of the curve.
Yeah. And I saw you on Instagram. You put the post up about how your day went. I guess you were actually homeschooling. The first picture I saw was Joe Clark.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Like, obviously, with all the kids being sent home, and I got my two are here and they're driving us crazy. But this was the first week where the schools actually sent the work home. So it's been interesting. My daughter and her class, they actually have a video conference with her teacher and the entire class every morning. So that's been good for them to stay on their usual routine and then work with my son as well. So I try not to get too overwhelmed with it at the same time. Like, I'll knock her stuff out, help her where I can in the morning, and then I'll help him in the afternoon. So right now I'm playing every fictional teacher you can imagine. I'm hitting them all the motivational stuff. I'm even the PE teacher. We outside doing jumping jacks. I'm hitting it all. Stretches. I might have to pull out the parachute, put the little ball in there, and you...
So I'm trying to imagine what it's like for the teacher trying to run a video conference with a squad full of 10-year-olds.
Oh, and it's crazy too, because like, she'll tell them, like, go ahead and mute your computer now so that, you know, she can have the floor. And then my daughter's telling me, like, one kid yesterday, like, refused to mute his mic. So he was just talking over her the whole time. Can you get written up if you're not actually at school? Like, how does that work? Like, can you get in trouble if you're not actually at school? I don't know how that situation works.
3 words, get your mama. Like, that's one thing about it. You over here acting up in my little class right now, get your mama.
And that's the thing.
I know she's there.
And that's the audacity of the whole thing is, like, you know that kid's parent is home, and he still has the nerve to be acting up and talking over the teacher, knowing one or not both of his parents are home, and he still has the gall to act up. I don't know how that works. That's some new school stuff there. And the last thing you want to do is act up in school when your parent is there. That's a no-no.
Whatever happened to being scared of your parents?
Right. Like, the last thing you want to do is have your parent come up to the school. That fear doesn't exist anymore with the kids, apparently. I don't know what it is.
Whatever happened? Like, that's all it is. When I was a youngster, I was afraid of my parents.
Right. Like the only time I wanted, like, I was a good kid. So, like, parent-teacher conferences, like the scheduled ones, like, I was good with that. I was on my best behavior. I knew it was coming. But the last thing you want to do is have your parent come up when it was unexpected. That means you did something. Oh, no. Like, the last time I can remember that I really got in trouble along the lines where a parent had to be called up, I was in fourth grade. I would like to say it was accidental, but it really wasn't. But I had to play it off like I forgot. I actually brought a toy gun to school.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Brought the toy gun to school. And the thing about it is my mother told me not to do it. And of course, the next day, I brought the toy gun to school and had it the whole day in my book bag. Forgot I even had it. And then as I'm leaving school and walking home with a classmate named Dean, still remember his name. I reached in my bag for something, and then I remember, oh, that's where I got this toy gun. I showed it to Dean. So what does Dean do? Dean goes back to the school outside in the playground and runs up behind one of our classmates to put the toy gun to her head.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that was, yeah, that was the last, your parent coming up to the school. Like, it was even worse because it was like the next day. Like, it wasn't even like the same day that I got in trouble. Like, I had to meet with the principal that morning, and my mother had to come up to the school. So, yeah.
Yeah, see, I was a well-behaved kid to myself. And so this is the thing for me. If my mama showed up to school, it wasn't me who was in trouble. It was one of them grown-ups. Like, if my mama showed up to school, it'd be like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? The teachers be like, who you want to see? Who did that? my mama showing up to school is very, I'm here to see the manager. Right? That's who I'm here to see. Nah. He good. I could just wait to get home to see him. I'm here to see the manager.
And look, and you know the teachers will be shook too. The teachers conference room, and they're like, did you hear Mrs. Jones had to come up here today? Who did that? What did you do?
Well, hold up. I told you the story about my mama, my sister, the teacher, and the Indian tribes.
What?
Okay. This is just to let you know. If, you know, most of you know this. My mother is a college professor. My mother is also like the nicest woman in the world. I forget, you haven't met my parents yet. They hadn't been in location at the same time. But my mother is like one of the nicest people in the world, but she is the epitome of don't mistake my kindness for weakness, mm-hmm. right? Like that's just kind of her general steve. So my sister had this teacher, but she was in like fourth grade or something like that. And the teacher wasn't really, you know, doing what the teacher should have done or whatever. So my mom was like, okay, I need to figure out how to get in here and make this happen. So she was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go up to the school and I'm going to grade papers, and then I can establish myself a bit of a rapport with this teacher, right? And so I don't have a gauge on how old the teacher was. I always assumed that she was young.
Yeah.
But my mom got in there, was talking to her, and the teacher was like, oh, so did she tell you that we've been learning about the five original tribes? Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, the original tribes? And by the way, I'm using all these words because it was the 70s and this is how they talk, right?
Right.
She was like, yeah. She's like, the original tribes? She's like, yes, these were the tribes that were always in America. And my mom was like, always? That didn't seem to add up. So she says, well, how did the other ones get here? And the teacher says, oh, the pilgrims brought them. My mama said that she heard that. She said, oh, okay. She gathered her things. And that teacher was never seen again. Well, I think they made it, gave her like a week to get it together so they could get somebody else in. That's right.
Oh, no.
The pilgrims brought them.
No, that's not it. That's not it. No, that's not it. No.
And let me tell you this, too. I feel like these video conferences for a lot of these teachers, you know, most of these teachers out here doing hard work, taking care of the kids, everything else, right? Mm-hmm. But teacher ain't no different than any other job. Some of y'all out here stealing paychecks. And I imagine that some teachers are getting exposed.
Oh, absolutely. Because, like, here's the thing. Like, the technology is there. And there's still some teachers in some school districts that haven't set up video conferencing yet. Like, why not? Like, you've known for a while that there won't be school. And they've already, in some states, they've already shut down the rest of the school year. Like, you need to be up on it. Like, there's no reason why some teachers at some schools have the video conference set up and some don't. Like, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I tell you this, though. But some of them go set up that video conference and the parents go be up there and be like, yo, what is this bull? No wonder you can't add.
Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, the first day, like, my daughter had her video conference, I was in the background listening. I'm like, so this is what really goes on, you know, because it's an interesting peek behind the curtain, you know, because you assume what's going on. And I guess I would imagine that the teachers will have to be on their best behavior, too, because there might be a parent like myself sitting behind the laptop listening, you know. So it's just an interesting point now, and it's really weird to see like just not just with school, but just the whole thing right now, like this becoming the new norm. It is really something. In my house, for example, without getting too deep in the weeds here, but both my wife and I are actually working from home now because we're both high risk because of previous medical conditions. I try to read and be up on and things, but not too much where it totally psychs you out. But now we're at the point now where, you know, we don't go out shopping. Like, we have the groceries delivered. Like, my wife is killing it right now on Amazon and all the different grocery stores, their websites, and having the stuff delivered. And now we're even at the point now where they tell you when you have your stuff delivered to not bring it in your house right away, to leave it outside for a day if you can. And if you do bring the items in, go ahead and wipe them off. So I'm sitting up here. We had a grocery delivery this weekend, and I'm sitting here wiping off cans and boxes and taking cereal bags out the boxes. Like, it's a whole new thing, though. It's strange. Aside from, and I'm not downplaying the seriousness of, you know, people getting sick, though, but just, you know, everything right now is just turned upside down, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, New York is wild. You know, you are a native New Yorker. Right. I am, I guess, a naturalized New Yorker at this point. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting today because it's sunny outside, so people might be out there.
And that's another thing, too, with the whole leaving the groceries. You can't do that in New York. Like all those rules don't apply. They are not equal across the board. You can't. There is no leaving groceries outside. No. And not to mention, too, like with New York, you have to socialize with people. It's really tough to really go out and be that distant from people. I'm not saying you're going to have folks all up in your face, but in New York, naturally, folks are on top of each other. That's just how New York is built.
It's built for sharing.
Exactly. It's so the whole social distancing, how is that working out for you?
I'm at the crib. I ain't got a shoebox, right? So I got my sanity. I got a little access to the outdoors. Like, for me, it's all right. Like, look, once it became clear that the subway was a bad idea, mm-hmm. social distancing started. Mm. Like, no one had to tell me. All you had to do was get me to be like, yo, I don't think the subway is really what's up right now.
Right.
But then you can't go nowhere. Right. Like, after you can't get on the subway, like, your limitations on where you can go are pretty, like, low. Like, I mean, if I'm not going to the store, right? Like, not a store, the store, mm-hmm. what is there for me to do? Ain't nothing open.
Right. You know, it's been tough, you know, for the kids, and we try to get them outside and get in the fresh air, but we try not to go to anywhere that we know is going to be heavily populated. Like, we try to play outside, but then, you know, you don't want the other kids in the neighborhood to come around because you don't want to be rude, but like, I don't want you touching my stuff. I don't want you touching your stuff. That's just the fact of the matter. Like, we're not going to be sharing baseballs if I'm outside playing baseball with the kids. That's just not going to happen, you know?
Yeah, you got it.
So we try to avoid parks or places that we know are going to be, you know, populated. Like, we try to go on walks, but not the popular walking trails. Like the whole distancing thing is real for us. Like I said, we, you know, we're high risk. So the last thing we want to do is be in contact with anyone, really, you know?
Yo, the park be out here cracking, dog. I live in Harlem, man. And so catches being posted up is just kind of what it is. Right. And even after like the social distancing had gotten started, I swear, man, I saw a dude on 114th and Frederick Douglass in a yellow Hummer bumping DMX, posted up outside with a couple of his partners. Like, all he was missing was an iceberg sweater. That was it. Right. And a Harlem, that's just another day, baby. That's just what it is. Cats be out here in front of Bodega just lounging. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I tell you who is taking this seriously, though. The doorman in my building, man. That dude ain't letting nobody up that does not live here. And he down there looking like the Shredder. His man look like he got beats.
Now, the one thing I have noticed, though, my wife and I were talking about this, like with the whole emphasis on cleanliness now. So what were folks doing before? Expose people how much folks don't wash their hands. All of that nastiness, like, you know, different companies in different places and the extra cleaning that they're doing now. Well, why weren't you doing that before? Like, you're essentially getting by on the bare minimum. No. Like, you should have been washing your hands. You should have been wiping down this equipment, this material. You should have been spraying. This stuff should have been going on before.
Yeah, because, like, I'm not a germaphobe. So, like, I have stepped up my game as this has happened, right? Like, I can't pretend that my hands were always this ashy, right? Like, I'm not gonna lie to you and say that I was that guy up until this point. Not to the levels that we have reached right now. But what got me was when after this all happened and the MTA, the people that run the subway up here, were like, yeah, we're going to move to cleaning the trains every 3 days. I'm like, well, how often was you cleaning the trains before?
And that's the first thing I thought of, aside from just the washing of the hands, was the MTA. Like how often were you washing before? Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yo, and watching people on the train as this went farther was mm-hmm. funny, because the big thing about it is, like, you know, you'd be trying not to touch too much on the train, yeah, right? Like, that's right. Where people come from. You don't want to touch too much. But like, if the train was packed and you couldn't sit down, unless you got real strong balance, you probably gonna need to touch something.
Unless you got a solid right? base.
Yes, man. I was watching people. It would be so funny watching people like reflexively reach up for the bar up top. They'd be like, oh, no, can't do it. Okay, I'm gonna just put I'm gonna hold it no tighter than I got to try to keep this right. Like, that's what it's gonna be. Cause this city is not built for this, man. Nobody knows what to do.
And it's funny to think too, like, South Florida was a bit of ahead of the curve with this though. Cause I remember at the gas stations, they would have like the disposable gloves at the gas station, mm-hmm. the little plastic gloves. And I was thinking, like, why didn't they do this before? Like, everywhere should have already been having disposable gloves at places like a gas station or public transportation, somewhere like that, you know?
Nah, man. Rona flipping up the game. This is like, we doing the kind of laugh part of it, but did you see the story about the kid from Washington State?
No, what's up?
Yeah, you know, they don't know what exactly happened. Let me pull this up. I want to make sure I get it right. Young man's name was Bryce Beekman, 22 years old, found dead in his apartment Tuesday afternoon by an officer who responded to a call for help involving breathing problems. We don't know if it was the coronavirus that was the problem, mm-hmm. you know, that caused this. But, you know, it's not an unreasonable hypothesis given everything that has happened. And I saw that and I was like, oh, remember when they told us a couple of weeks ago that young people were good?
Right.
They told us we were straight. Like, you know, it's just, you just don't want to give it to your granny, mm-hmm. but you're going to be all right. And now like this has reached the point now where people are dying.
Yeah.
Right. Like at first it was kind of people getting sick. Now we talking about people dying. And I hope that's what gets some people to understand, like, yo, man, like, please take this for real.
Right. And I'll ask you, and of course it goes without saying, and we're not making light of anything. We're just, you know, discussing our experiences with dealing with the coronavirus right now as it stands. But at what point does this become like the new norm, like our way of life that we're currently experiencing now? Right now, we don't know how long this is going to last. So when is it going to become the new norm?
That's a good question, because like everybody keeps throwing out these dates like, hey, well, you know, middle of April, we're going to see what's going on. Man, don't be listening to that.
Right.
Don't be counting down to this. One day they're going to tell us we can come back outside and then we're going to go back outside. All these questions and all that ain't going to really help. Right. Like, no, we just going to be here. I don't know. Like a lot of levels of this. The new normal, though, concern I got about the idea of the new normal is less about like the distancing and stuff like that, because I do think those things are going to go away, is when you get out here and hit these streets and these businesses ain't here no more.
Right.
You know, they talk about unemployment going to hit 30% by the end of the quarter. Mm. That's not going to be a permanent situation. But man, ain't nobody built for that. And maybe the scariest thing about this to me, it's not just that people are living paycheck to paycheck. We've known that people are living paycheck to paycheck, right? Like the idea that rent's due on the first of the month, this thing's only really been going like in a way that's really crippled the economy for the last couple of weeks. And so many people are shook that they're not going to be able to pay the rent. Like that's just a matter of an economy that does not sustain itself in a way that allows people to save money. But it does sustain itself in a way that allows businesses to save money. And why they ain't got no money? Why y'all living check to check?
Which brings us to the sports tie-in, you know, with the situation that happened with the 76ers and the New Jersey Devils earlier in the week, saying that they were going to cut pay of the full-time employees. But then, of course, public backlash and they reversed their course there. You got what? The NHL, I think, is going to do the same thing with their full-time employees. Like, I'm just curious to see, like, other businesses across the board, that's going to start happening and it's going to become normal.
Well, here's the thing for me, too. We keep talking about, like, everybody keeps looking at the NBA, right? And they keep, you know, well, are these teams going to take care of their people or whatever with the arena and stuff? But don't forget, they were about to be off the hook for that pretty soon anyway. Right. Like they're just missing out until the end of April mm-hmm. for most teams. Right. Like they weren't going to be paying those people for very long anyway. You better turn that attention over here to baseball, because I don't think it's going to be a baseball season And those folks going to be out in a much different way than the folks working at basketball arenas and stuff like that were going to be.
Right. I think the report is what? That each team's going to contribute $1 million. So it's essentially $30 million going towards these park employees.
That ain't nothing.
Coming from these teams that, you know, what? Mike Trout's, what, $400 million contract? And all these teams can give is, a collectively $30 million? What is that? Come on.
That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Like, when I start hearing about, like, teams giving somebody $1 million, I'm like, yo, man, I'm not trying to be like judgmental of them because I understand and recognize that they're trying to do whatever it is that they can do, right? But $1 million from these people ain't nothing. Like, it really isn't nothing. Like, I think you and I talked about this once where I had to put some money on a funeral a couple years ago and I stopped being impressed by athletes paying for funerals. a funeral is really expensive if you don't expect it and you don't have the money. Mm-hmm. But like, if you got cash, a funeral is paying for a watch for these folks. I'm like, man, this ain't nothing. That's what I feel like this is with these teams. Like, yo, I'm going to give $1 million. You're worth billions, mm-hmm. like multiple billions. That is what you're worth. And by the way, while this market is crashing out other people's retirement account, you out here buying low. Mm-hmm. But all you got's $1 million for the people that work in these arenas and all of this, you know, and it's getting back to the point where basically the idea of who deserves to be poor. Mm-hmm. You can watch it in the discussions as they try to figure out this relief package and everything else. It's just a matter of people deciding who does and does not deserve to have some money in their pockets. That's what it is. And people have decided that the folks that work at these stadiums or whatever, they don't deserve to have it. And I'm like, cool, that's fine. But you know, me and you have been working together for a long time. You've heard me say this many, many times. You got two choices. You can pay for kids to get educated or they can rob you. And this is a very similar place. Y'all can give folks this money or they gonna come get it. I seen the pictures at the gun store.
Right. It's happening one way or another. Easy way or hard way. Which one you want
to
do?
I'm about to eat. I'm about to eat. Have it your way.
Window or the stairs. You pick.
Right. The Burger King is in the house. Have it your way. I'm about to get this money, dog. And by the way, like, they kept paying the players. I'm glad they kept paying the players because once again, not everybody's ready to miss checks.
Right, exactly. Like, they sit, we of course tend not to think of, you know, professional athletes in the same regard, living check to check like we do, but a lot of them do. And not all of them, if we've learned anything, aren't as financially conscious as we would assume that they are. And so they looking for those checks, that first of the 15, just like everybody else.
Yo, can we like be a little bit real here? Okay. A little bit real.
Okay.
I don't know so much how it goes in this era, but in previous eras, when they weren't molding and polishing the players from such a young age, mm-hmm. cats needed to get that bread. It was ways to go get that bread.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. That's not even really an option right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, being, shall we say, an independent contractor in the age of social distancing and shelter at home, I don't really know how that works.
And that industry overall, like, I don't know. And it's what I thought about that with the social distance. Like, how is that still working? Because, you know, you got a clientele that's got a lot of time on their hands now. But are you willing to risk defying the social distancing rules to get that bread? You know?
Right. But let me tell you this, though. I don't know who the new El Chapo is, right? But the new El Chapo gonna rename himself El Corona. He's like, look, the coronavirus can get you an ICAN. Have it your way. Pick one. Like all this stuff of people like calling up their bosses and being like, yo, I just don't feel safe coming to work right now and everything else. How you think that goes down there with the Sinaloa, uh-uh. right? You think the Sinaloa got a union? They hit the bell chop off and being like, sir, I'm doing my best. I just don't feel comfortable. I live with my mother. She has respiratory issues. Like, how is that game going?
Right. Because that don't stop. That game don't stop, you know?
There is a park in Harlem. I call it Knee-High Park, right? Because it's kind of like Knee-High Park from Chappelle's Show. Mm-hmm. And if you ever walk past it, it'd be a lot of folks like, I swear to you, man, I once saw a dude dancing, music player from a boombox. He made some move and then he stopped, he dropped it, he picked it up, And then a woman came and pulled down his pants, and he was wearing drawers with a Batman logo on. Right. Like, just to give you an idea of what the vibe is over at that place.
Right.
I ain't been over there, obviously, because we can't do so much like walking around and stuff.
Right.
But where is there for them to go?
Right. Like, what's the market looking like for the world's oldest profession? Like, well, how's that going?
Yes. Because y'all look at the cats. I was like, look at that park. And that park, to me, is kind of like their version of Showbiz Pizza, where a fiend can be a fiend. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how this works for anybody now under the current set of circumstances. Like, I think there's a lot of levels of this that we not talk about. I finally saw it in Atlanta. They finally started writing stories about what the strippers going to do.
Right.
You see what's been going on with these Airbnb fake ballers?
Yeah.
Yo, that's the wildest one to me.
But if there's any industry that's capable of evolving, it's the entertainment industry. How's that?
Yeah. No, there's a way in all Magic City charging people $20 for virtual shows.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, Magic City, they had to shut down the club, but they left the kitchen open.
Man, look, they got good wings in the script club.
Yeah. Let me tell you this, go look up your local strip club. Go look up. I don't know who the person is in your town. My people in Houston know about the homie Marvin Zindler. Go look up whatever restaurant report or the news in your city and go see what they got to say about the local strip club. They really got time to clean that stuff up.
Ooh. Most restaurants, especially local, you know, they're pushing the whole delivery service. So maybe, you know, I don't know how it works with, you know, you can have your staff at some of these places deliver the wings. Cause, you know, Goodell asked me what I was doing in the script club. I said, they got good wings in the script club.
Yeah. Let me tell you, don't nobody tip delivery the same way. Especially if you can't let it in the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. You can't let her in the house. Right? But she just gonna come to the door, drop it off, and leave?
She gonna do a TikTok dance on your front porch.
Yes. By the way, this is the story from 2016 about Magic City. Magic City received a score of 54 on Tuesday after inspectors noted no soap or paper towels at the bar, hand sink, and improperly washed dishes. That's the part they keeping open. Just letting you know, that's the part they keep it open.
Look, if there's a will, there's a way. I say.
All right, we'll be back in a minute with more with Shannon Penn. But first,
5-hour energy shots are portable and effective at giving you the alert, energized feeling you need to get work done, even if you're working from home, because that couch can be a little too convenient. 5-hour energy shots help you get through your day. With zero sugar, 4 calories, and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for busy, hard-working people, even if you're working from home. It also comes in 2 great extra-strength tropical takes, strawberry banana and tropical burst. They are delicious and can take you to a tropical get-stuff-done experience. Try them both, then go online to shop5hourenergy.com and use the code BOMANI to receive a one-time offer of 10% off your order. Try them both, then go online to shop5hourenergy.com and use the code BOMANI to receive a one-time offer of 10% off your order. Go to shop5hourenergy.com, use the code BOMANI to receive a one-time offer of 10%. 5-Hour Energy, energy on the go.
But you know who's in a tricky situation right now?
What's up?
Dak Prescott. You see that?
Well, as far as the reported offer that was made, and what is it? The difference between a 4 and a 5 year deal.
Well, here's the thing to me: he had all the leverage once the franchise tag came down, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he had all the leverage in that situation. Just go out here, play it again. You know, run it back. Maybe they franchise tag you again, run it back. But he had all the leverage. What's going to happen to the salary cap? Is there going to be a season coming up? All of those things. And now all of a sudden, you hear about negotiations.
Funny how that just pops up, right?
Yes. Yes.
But with,
yes.
But with the negotiation specifically, I don't know, I'll ask you, you know, because there's different reports that, you know, that the Cowboys offered five to kind of stretch out the contract there, where Dak and his people wanted four. If you're Dak, and let's just assume there's a season, are you willing to hold out for that extra year, or you just play it on the franchise and try again next year?
The holdout part is tricky for a quarterback, right? Because it's a little different. You can't just plug and play the same way with a quarterback. I think he'd have the leverage on the holdout because they need him to come back, assuming there's going to be some sort of season, right?
Right.
I still think, like, there are a lot of people that I hear on the Dak ain't that good program. I'm not there. Mm-hmm. I'm not there. I look around the rest of the league and look, this is a golden era kind of for young quarterbacks, but it's not a golden era for middle-aged and older quarterbacks. So the supply to me just ain't that high. And so if I'm him, I probably still wind up holding out. But, hey, Gabe, are we able to do the elevator music? All right.
Thank you for your patience. A representative from the right time will be with you shortly. Your current hold time is
15 seconds.
I feel where Dak Prescott coming from. I feel where it is, yo, man. Go get the money while it's out there, baby. All right, baby. Because the thing is, it ain't even like just go sign the franchise tender. I don't know when the cap is going to recover. You see, they're talking about that in the NBA with the cap.
Right.
Like, the cap is going to be down. Last year, Daryl Morey went and stepped on it a little bit. And then next thing you know, somebody threw the thing out the window.
And then, and two, you have your action shelf, and you alluded to this earlier as far as options. Like, if you're not high on Dak, what's a better option? Like, they're really, aside from a Tom Brady prior to signing with Tampa, like, what was a better option?
Ooh.
For the camp that's not high on Dak, right? What would have been a better option?
Oh, none.
There wouldn't have been a better option for Dallas, really, in that situation. Andy Dalton, like, who were you going to get that was going to be better? Like, you might not be in love with Dak, but I think he fits what you need, and you're not going to find someone that's better.
Right. Well, that's the place that Washington wound up in with Kirk Cousins, where I understood both sides of the argument. I understood where Washington was coming from, not wanting to give a long-term contract to a guy who wasn't a long-term option. I got that. That's why you go ahead and push this out. On the other hand, they just kept giving him money and kept giving him money, but they never drafted a replacement. And that was the part that I never understood with them is, if you know this dude ain't your long-term play, then go get one. You know, like, you at a place you can trick somebody into trying to trade for this dude or whatever. So go get it. In the end, what did it get? It got Kirk Cousins $81 million guaranteed. And then another extension.
Washington, and of course you couldn't foresee the Alex Smith injury, but that happens. And then here you are drafting a quarterback, you know, what, two years later, draft a quarterback in the first round.
And I'm not in on him. I don't know about you. Like, if they got a chance to take Tua, I think they need to take Tua. And I'm not wild about Tua, but I am pretty positive this Haskins thing ain't going to work out. Like, I don't see it. Like, when I watched him play last year, I didn't feel like I was watching a dude who just needed to figure it out. You know what I thought I saw? I thought I saw a dude who looked the part. Big dude. Looks like he got a big, strong arm. You know, all of that. But I ain't see it, man.
Right. So the question for you is Washington a quarterback away? The reason why I ask, because, you know, there is a quarterback that's available now that does have ties to Ron Rivera. And if you feel like you got a shot there in the NFC East and or wild card, are you willing to make the play for Cameron Jurrell Newton?
If I would have, except they went and traded for damn Kyle Allen. Like, they've made it clear. Oh, they're going with Haskins. Because you got to remember, Haskins is down with Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go back. And so that's going to wind up being the play. I think that Cam is going to wind up with the Chargers.
Yeah.
It makes all the sense in the world for him to wind up with the Chargers. It makes sense for him to wind up in New England also. I don't know what the hell they're going to do. Yo, man, you and I, and we've tried to explain this to people for a long time, and so many people swear that we're making this up. But we both worked in North Carolina for a long time. After I left and it really got cracking with the Panthers, you were working the board on radio, taking the phone calls and everything else. Yeah, it's a lot of people that really like Cam Newton, but the best thing to ever happen for Luke Kuechly jersey sales was Cam Newton. Right? Kuechly was the alternative there. And then just that fast, man, that whole thing in Carolina was over, like done.
Yeah.
And what it sounds like to me, is not that they didn't want to bring him back as much as he wanted an extension, and they understandably weren't willing to do that. And so it's time for people to move on. But bruh, they gonna miss him, right? Because Teddy Bridgewater, at his best, he ain't what you got out of Cam Newton.
Right, right, right. And I guess, you know, for that, just that organization with Kuechly retiring, Rivera moving on, I guess it's just, it made the decision to move on from Cam easier, I guess, because you're doing a whole turning of the page with the franchise, I guess. But before we look ahead to Cam, we, you know, go back and look. And I think it was tough for people to understand, folks from the outside that didn't follow the Carolina Panthers and their fans as closely as we did. Like, yeah, Cam had an MVP season, got them to a Super Bowl, but there were still a lot of people, especially prior to that season, that really didn't like him. They said he had a disingenuous smile.
Yeah.
I didn't see it anywhere else where you had an MVP caliber player, you know, first overall pick, face of the franchise, quarterback, where so many fans disliked that quarterback. Like, it was really interesting to watch. And I remember Jeff Schwartz and I went back and forth online a couple years ago about this. Jeff Schwartz played in Carolina, still lives in Charlotte. And he felt, you know, that the fans revered Cam. And there was a pocket of fans that were really high on Cam, but there was a large group, a larger than you would imagine, that really disliked him and didn't want him, regardless if the team was winning or not. They were rooting for Carolina despite Cam Newton, if that makes any sense.
Jeff wasn't hanging out with everybody. And we're not talking about everybody, just to be clear, right? Mm-hmm, right. But Darren Gannon, Pro Football Talk, talks about this all the time, that now everybody's going to say that they love Cam.
Right.
That's not the way it went. And I think something that really gets lost in the Rivera-Newton era, because you can't separate the two of them, right? Like, mm-hmm, those, and Kuechly, I forgot, Kuechly's out of there too. So you kind of run all those things together.
Right.
Dude, they had the most interesting and maybe exciting player in the NFL on this franchise. They had their greatest period of sustained success. Remember, that was a division that for the longest, nobody had ever won 2 years in a row. And didn't the Panthers win it 3 years in a row?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, nobody had won it 2 years in a row.
Because we knew the Falcons weren't going to do it.
No, yeah, of course not. Of course not. I mean, come on now. I don't know why you acting like the Saints no different. And the Bucks are literally the worst team in the history of the NFL. You know what I'm saying? It's everybody, man. That's just, I mean, that division be looking good until you realize there's a lot of inner sorry.
Right.
Like, at the core of it. But they had that dude. They had that guy. And he did all the stuff that you ask quarterbacks to do in public. He did, you know, all those things, taking the leadership role. We watched him grow and mature because, I mean, he had ways to go when he first got there, right?
Right.
And we saw all those things go on and everything else and the stuff with kids and all of this. But in the end, there was a Derek Anderson hive that never went away.
Right.
That never went away. And you noticed it by how quick people were to say that he was finished last year. I'm not sold on the idea that he's finished. I'm sold on the idea that he suffered a bad shoulder injury and then he suffered the foot injury. If those two things have come around, then what are we talking about here? You take Cam Newton. You see what you got.
Mm-hmm. Cam is in his 30s now, right? So Cam is 30 now. So I think the injuries have played a toll, you know, with running and the type of hits that he takes. I'm not just saying, you know, making this wide sweeping statement about running quarterbacks or mobile quarterbacks or whatever, but Cam was a big dude and he wasn't always the type that avoided the contact.
That wasn't the point.
Right. Right. Exactly. But now, like, does Cam have to change? And if so, you know, how successful can he be if he doesn't have, like, I think you called him before, like, the greatest, you know, what, short yardage?
The greatest short yardage ever.
Yeah, exactly. So if, you know, you have to pull back part of that game, how successful can you be with Cam? Or does a lot of that have to depend on the tools and the things and the players he has around him?
Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's my question, because he's the greatest short yardage option that there has ever been. There's mm-hmm. that part. And the way he runs and the use of him running is not necessarily to run past you. It's an option you can run past you, but it's to run into your chest.
Right.
That's what it is. Can he keep doing that? Or not even can he, should he keep doing that becomes a question. But I'll also say this. I don't think that stuff is what messed up his shoulder. And I don't think that stuff is what messed up his foot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what, like, the corrective situation is. I just know I would give it a try. Like, Stephen Ruiz of USA Today did a very interesting charting of where his passes were those two games he played last season and what went wrong. And it seemed pretty clear that the issue was the foot based upon what was going wrong, because the passes that he was missing were going all to the right and the chart did not match up with what he did the year before, which implies that the second physical issue was causing this, not the first physical issue, because the year before is when the shoulder came up.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. They could have kept him. I think there's somebody to take him. I just don't know who or when that's going to happen, because I don't blame any team for needing to do a thick, serious physical.
Right. Right.
To see what, you know, to see what they got, except you can't do that because the Rona.
Right. But you did mention the, LA Chargers, and I think that makes the most sense for both sides at this point. And I think for Cam, he has enough Carolina blue in his wardrobe that I think he wouldn't have to go out and get new clothes because it's the same blue. So he's good there. But on the field, I mean, there are weapons. And I think for a franchise like the Chargers that needs a face, like they need somebody because no one's checking for the Chargers in LA. So at least now you can put a guy like Cam, a face, a player that people know, and he can be your name guy. You know, no disrespect for, you know, the Keenan Allens of the world, but, you know, folks aren't checking for the Chargers. Let's just be real.
Man, they need them too, boy. By the way, they still try to build that stadium. You seen that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had forgotten about that. I saw a story. They still try to get that thing built. Yeah, man. Look, if it's going to be a season, it's got to be a stadium.
Right.
Yo, we out here like the folks in Qatar, with the World Cup. Like, you know, if he dies, he dies, but these stadiums got to get built.
What was, it's escaping my mind right now. What's the music festival that Ja Rule tried to do? What was it?
Play the Fire Fest.
The Fire Fest. They could be, if we have Charger Ram games this year, they could be giving out cold, stale sandwiches. Something. That LA Stadium's the new Fire Festival.
Yo, there's so much that's going on here. There's so much. But I do want to ask you this while I got you. Like, what do you think Cam would have to say about these things?
Oh, I'd imagine that Cam, you know, Cam's still going to be Cam. You know, he's already posted some videos on social media and him working out and whatever. So Cam's going to be Cam. And I like, we say it's going to be the Chargers, but we really don't know. And if Cam being who he is, I'm sure he's not going to let that out. He's not going to let people know, you know, what his next move is going to be.
We're not going to let the cat out the hat.
He's not going to let the cat out the hat. You know, and look, I know he's been rehabbing and doing what he has to do to get back because this little break that he's on right now.
This hiatus that we're on right now, you know, no one in that locker room wants to come down from.
Nobody wants it to end. And Cam's, you know, he's 30 years old now. He's a little bit older. He's a father now. He's going to look back on things. And could he have done things differently? Could the Panthers have done things differently? Of course they can, but.
Hindsight's 50-50.
It's always 50-50. Hindsight is always 50-50. It's not the same. It's always going to be 50-50. And that's like, knowing that hindsight is always 50-50, that's like a guarantee.
You can probably, you know, ink it in gold.
You can ink it in gold. It's fact. It's fact that you can ink it in gold. But, you know, Cam's going to, she's starting to do now. He's going to be on a new team and he's going to come in and he's going to be on his, you know, his best behavior. He's going to be a franchise player, the face of the team, because he doesn't want to upset anybody.
Ruffle the lion's feathers.
He does not want to ruffle the lion's feathers. That's not what you want to do when you come in and on a new team. You know, you want to start from anew. You want to do things differently. You don't want it to get stale.
The monotonism of life could get old.
Yes, the monotonism of life can get old. So he's not going to allow that to happen in his new team. He's going to come in. He's going to be celebrated. Former MVP, former number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner. He's going to come in and I'm sure he's going to be feeling good about himself.
You know, our morals are high.
His morals are going to be high. You know, some people can be down, but his morals are going to be high. When he comes in, he's going to be the leader of the team. And he's got this Charger team or wherever he's going to sign. They're going to be strong. They're going to enforce themselves on the other team. As a matter of fact, they're probably going to.
But we just wanted to come out and oppose our will.
They're going
to
oppose their will. They're going to oppose their will. And they're not going to stop. Like, once you get that team moving down the field and opposing their will, they're just going to keep going. They're not going to stop. They're just going to keep
moving the pendulum forward.
You got to keep moving the pendulum forward. You don't stop at all. You just keep going. It's like a big train, like a big freighter. Matter of fact.
Yeah, we just lost a great player. But nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
The Titanic still has to go. At the end of the day, the Titanic still has to go. And you want to keep a good face and you don't want to be negative. As a matter of fact, you want to be
unpositive.
You don't want it to be unpositive, you know? And it's unfortunate that the tenure of Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers had to end. But, you know, that's what happens when you're a marquee name and a marquee face like that. That just what happens, especially when you put a
person up on a pinnacle and you just analyze them from so many different areas. It's kind of unfair, but, you know, that's the life we live.
That's the life we live, Cam.
He contorted it a little.
It could have been contorted in a way.
He contorted. I forgot about contort.
And the thing about the contort clip that's so good is he sounds so confident in it. Like in these other ones, he's trying to find the word.
Mm-hmm.
Not on that one.
It could have been contorted in a way.
It's contort. I contorted it a little. Oh, man, I need him to come back, man. The league is so much more fun when he's back.
And it's funny that you say that, though, because it's like we forgot about him. Like, with all, you know, the focus now on the Mahomes and the Lamar Jacksons, where, like, we just literally forgot about Cam Newton. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Like, as polarizing as he's been at times in his career, it's like you go from the highest of highs, and now no one's checking for him.
Yo, miss a year and a half, and we forget you. Right. Like, that's really all it comes down to, man. You miss a year and a half, and it's like you were never here. Everything just keeps on going. Like, the memory of the NFL is so short.
Mm-hmm.
So short. Like, you struggle. Like, here's in baseball, you can have a bad year.
Right.
In basketball, you can kind of have a bad year. In football, a bad year is a wrap.
Right, right. That's like 10 years. Like a season in football is like 10 years in real life. Like, really. It's like if you're a quarterback like Cam and you essentially missed a season and a half, it's like doing a 10-year bid. Like, you come out and you're using all the slang from 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yes. Cam was like, "Yeah, we're about to get lit. We about to get lit."
Yeah. He got the fish in his shoe.
He coming out dabbing. Right.
Yes.
Like, Cam, we don't do that anymore.
We'll do that no more. No, it's not on Fleek.
It's not on Fleek.
Fleek ain't no thing no more, man.
He coming out wearing bathing ape. Like, what are you doing? Like, we're not doing that anymore. What are you doing, Cam?
He's like, yo, I'm doing what I do. That's what he's doing. He's out here doing what I do. But hey, man, that is Shannon Penn. Check out First Take, Your Take.
On ESPN Radio and simulcast on ESPN News from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern. We play a lot of First Take, and you have your chance. If you ever watched or listened to First Take and you wanted to yell at Stephen A. for something that he said, or you disagreed with a take that Max said, well, if you can't yell at those guys, call us up and yell at Jason Fitz. So there you have it. First Take, Your Take, 1 to 3, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
All right, and we got out of here before we had time to talk to Shannon about the Knicks. Lucky for him, they don't play games.
You can't lose games if you're not playing games.
I just wish you could have been at the office that day that Charles Oakley showed up uninvited with a hard drive to show video of his altercation with Jim Dolan, because somebody needed to hear it. This is the day after the spike situation.
Why am I just now hearing about this? You know what? That's going to have to be that's going to be another podcast.
I'm slipping. Oak just rolled up. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Like, I was like, oh, Oak's a guest. They're like, okay, no guest. Oak just here.
The most important thing is who was going to tell Oak to leave. Nah, you had to listen to everything else you're saying. Man, you right, Oak, man. That's wrong. That's fine. How they did you, Oak.
Now, the thing is, you know Vinny. Vinny wasn't going to let him pass until somebody said it was okay, but somebody was going to say that it was okay. That was what it was going to be. But ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. I do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassane handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Thank you to my man Shannon Penn. Also, thank you to our sponsors, My Computer Career. Thank you to 5-Hour Energy. Remember, subscribe to The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you're a hater, and we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.